Welcome once again to Saturday Java with Jason. I am Jason Coffee Man. This is where we meet with guests, drink coffee, and just have a great conversation.
Hi, I'm here with Caitlin and Sherilyn. They're a mother and daughter and they're business owners. And they started a business called Dear Dreamer. And I would like them to give you an introduction so you can actually learn more about them.
I love that. I think you should take that.
So I'm Sherilyn, and I'm Caitlin's mom. Did you say we're a mother-daughter duo? So we're a mother-daughter duo. And we walked away from a pretty lucrative network marketing business because we wanted to work under our own brand, our own name. We wanted to build our own thing and just have it be ours. Yeah. And, you know, girls don't like to go to the bathroom alone. And I don't think they like to start businesses alone either. We don't like to do anything alone, really. And so we started Dear Dreamer to just help women dream big and achieve bigger. And we've written books and became Amazon bestselling authors on things that are important to women, like setting healthy boundaries, how to be productive as a busy mom, and also turning dreams into reality. And then our biggest, funnest thing that we do is we travel the world and we take women with us. So we just got back from England and we're filling spots for an empowerment retreat to France. And that's just Dear Dreamer Elite Retreats. So that's a little bit about us in a nutshell.
Okay. Now you mentioned it a few times, Dear Dreamers. What is that? And who can benefit from it?
Ooh, I love that question. So Dear Dreamer, like she mentioned, that's our business where we take women onto international empowerment retreats. This looks like we plan the entire trip. So whoever signs up doesn't lift a single finger to plan for this trip. We plan the whole thing. And we will be touring, like we're going to France this fall. We will be touring France. So of course you're going to get to see all the usual spots. We're going to go to Normandy and Paris, but then we're also planning on staying at a real life chateau. And every day we will also be doing just little empowerment activities, belief building activities, and then sharing the things that we have learned from our years in entrepreneurship with those ladies. And the hope is that it's a spot for them to just, number one, see the world. Some people probably have never been able to go, or they've had no one to go with, or they didn't want to have to plan the trip, right? And they need some girlfriends. They need, you know, a new circle of people to inspire them, help them find that next step. Or their moms, or just busy women who need a break from whatever's happening, take a break, have some space away from it so that they're ready to go home and tackle it again and overcome it. So
yep.
It's for ambitious women. We're thinking entrepreneurs because
that's what we are.
That's what we know.
But we'll take anybody that feels like they belong.
Any ambitious woman who has goals, really. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to have goals.
We won't take anybody, but we will take anybody that resonates with our message, that is a like-minded, lovely person
who would like to travel the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you say dreamers, you're talking to people that just sit there and say, hey, look, I want to do this. I want to do that. But there's a difference between a dream and a goal. You opened a business. So that was your dream. You turned it into a goal. I had a podcast that was a dream. I turned that into a goal. So can you explain the difference between a dream and a goal for people that might not know what the difference is?
That's such a good question. And you know what? In the book I just wrote, Turning Dreams into Reality, that is a chapter of what is the difference between a goal and a dream. And I know you haven't read it because we just met, but that's pretty interesting that you are in tune enough with the universe that you would come up with that. But a dream is like just something you want to be, do, or have. So it's a big idea. It's a big idea that's on your heart. It could be, I want to be healthy. I want to travel. I want to get out of debt. I want to have a better relationship with my husband. So it is just a big grand idea. A goal is how you map it out. So it generally takes more than one goal to achieve your dream. So let's say I want to go to France. I'm going to have to actually get a map of France and decide where I'm going to stay. And I'm going to have to start looking at chateaus and or if that's what I want, or hotels or whatever. I'm going to have to pick one. I'm going to have to price it out. I'm going to have to figure out how much money it's going to take to get there. So the goals are measuring stones or stepping stones that you need to check off and achieve in order to bring that dream to pass. So I would say goals are like the nitty-gritty work that you dig in, pull up your sleeves, and start working towards.
Yeah.
Goal will generally have a deadline. It will generally be measurable. And a dream isn't. A dream is an idea. You can't really bring a dream to pass without goals.
And one thing I was told is if you want to have, I'm going to use this for example, if you want to have something by January of 2025, it might be better to have goals for that year of how you're going to reach it, and then steps from then, a monthly, a weekly, a daily, and even maybe an hourly thing of things you can check off to get to that point. Because there are times that you're going to need to have those steps.
Yeah. Like you've heard the saying, right? I said this to I said this to my son last night. He had a very messy room, very messy. Took us 12 hours to take care of his room. But he was like, oh, I'm just so overwhelmed. It's just so crazy. And I said, yard by yard, it looks hard, but inch by inch, it's a cinch. Of course, he and my husband had to laugh at me over that. But yes, we broke that, you know, having a clean room down into smaller steps or goals. And I wish I could take you in there. You'd be so impressed. How amazing.
It's amazing. It's truly a miracle.
Well, they say the easiest way to eat an elephant is bite by bite.
Yeah, bite-sized goals.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, I mean, I read a book too, which is called Make Your Bed. And I love that book because it starts out with the simplest task of making your bed in the morning. And in case you do have a bad day, you can get into an already made bed. And it's one of the best things you can do. So,
and it's a small win, isn't it? It's a small win.
Yeah.
When you have these smaller goals, psychologically, it's been proven that when you win or you feel like you've won, you are actually likely to win again. You're actually likely to create another win and another win and another win. So, I mean, making your bed, it's free. It costs you nothing. It takes probably 2 minutes or less, and you can have an immediate win for the day.
Makes your room look so good.
Do you make your bed?
I do now. I'm 26. For 24 years of my life, I never made the bed. I was always like, well, I'm just going to get back into it later. And I started doing that once we bought our house. I started doing that every day. And it's true. Like, I wake up and I'm like, yeah, what else could I go do now? Right? Like, what else can I, what of my other goals can I like go work on now? Because I feel like I am already a winner and I can do it. And then it feels so good to just look in your bedroom and be like, oh, the bed is made and the room is clean.
It's a
my life is in order and I'm a real adult now.
It's a little shot of dopamine, right? Yeah. And it's addicting and you want to keep winning. What else can I win?
But even when you're a business owner, it's kind of the same thing, because once you do something to, you know, once you get that first customer or once you get your first sale, it's kind of the same aspect. It's a little win, but those little wins can compound into bigger things.
And always do, right? Always do.
Exactly.
When you see a person, it looks like they've just radically changed their life. You know, like Caitlin and I, we lost 70 pounds. We've kept it off for a year. So we started 2 years ago, took us a year. We've each lost 70 pounds. We wouldn't have even fit in this screen together before this, and people who hadn't seen us, because we did it during COVID.
Yeah.
So people hadn't seen us for months, and
the double takes were crazy.
And to them, it felt like we just like radically, you know, accomplished this huge thing with the snap of a finger. But what you said is true. It was actually little baby steps and our bodies melting off, you know, ounces a day,
literally meal day by day. Meal,
yep. You know? Yeah. And we battled through. We stopped eating sugar.
We battled through the withdrawals.
Yeah.
You had a physical reaction. Your body was like, you had aches and pains. Like her body was
hair falling out,
rebelling against her, like getting trying to get her to stop. It was crazy.
Yes. Probably the hardest thing we've ever done. But yes, we did it just hour by hour, day by day. It was not big, huge transformation. It was inch by inch for sure. But that's how, I think that's how any great dream is brought to pass, but we only ever see the result.
Yeah.
We don't see the battle that went on, you know, the goals that had to be checked off little by little to bring it to pass.
Now, people out there might say, hey, I want to open my own business, but they have these people either physically or even in their head, the naysayers, the ones that say, oh, if you open a business, you're never going to accomplish anything. You're just going to fail. What are some things that you would say to the people out there that are fighting those naysayers?
Ooh, I love that. I'll take that one. I think like it's kind of a cliche, but why do you have to care what anyone else thinks? And I'd say just because someone says so doesn't actually mean it's so. And then also that naysayer, like, okay, like who are they to even say you can't do it? Are they running a business? Are they skilled? Like, where does this opinion come from? It has no authority. There's no truth to it. And truly, you will never know until you do it. And what is the worst thing that could happen? You're not going to die. You know, you're not going to explode. And a lot of times business is actually not that risky. So it's not like you're going to suddenly lose everything, right? You might crash and burn a little bit. Well, you will crash and burn. You will always crash and burn a little bit when you start a new business because you don't know what you're doing. But you'll keep going and you'll figure it out and it'll be fine, right? But the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work out and you pivot and you try something else. You know, I don't see why naysayers are so like, oh, you can't do it, it'll be terrible. And it's like, well, you don't know if I can do it or not. And how bad could it be? You know what I mean?
Why do we, like I always tell my kids, every decision you make, from the shirt you put on that morning to the way you brush your teeth to how you drive, what car you drive, what house you choose to live in, what shoes you wear, every decision that you make will displease some and please others.
Yeah.
You actually cannot have the approval. You cannot ever have the approval of everyone, and so you please yourself and maybe a very small circle of people who you actually care what they think, because they always have your best interest at heart. And you just stick right there in that little circle, understanding that you will always fail forward to success. So successful business owners have to fail in order to learn lessons. It's like you're just paying tuition. Usually those failures will cost money when you're in business, right? And so you're just paying tuition to have learned a lesson. How many of us, like, I paid $30,000 for a bachelor's degree to become a middle school Spanish teacher. And when we wanted to start this new business, you know, we have probably put in about $10,000. And we've had naysayers, like, oh my gosh, what if it doesn't work? And I'm like, well, I don't teach Spanish anymore. I lasted 2 years, paid $30,000 for that. Nobody gave me grief for $30,000 of tuition for a job that would pay me less than $2,000 a month. No one, not one person. So really, we've learned some expensive lessons and we've learned some not so expensive lessons, but all
you had a great time learning those lessons.
Yeah, all you do is get better. You're going to have to make mistakes, and that's how you learn.
I think to add to that, I've found a lot of naysayers might actually be coming from a place, maybe like of jealousy, like what you are wanting to do is something they wish they could do, and they don't believe in themselves enough to do it. They're naysaying themselves. So to see you want to go attempt it, for some reason kind of, you know, rattles them. And then it's like, well, if I can't do it, no one else should do it, right? And then they want to just shut everybody down. And really it's like, well, I'm brave enough to go do it. And then if this is something you want to do too, let me bring you along.
Don't
you know?
We owe it to them to inspire them out of that way of thinking? Don't we owe that to them? rather than joining them in misery, you know.
And I love keeping away. I love keeping around the naysayers just to prove to them once I get good enough, look what I did. And you're the one that told me I could not do it.
And you know what? I'm like that too. I'm that person. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm like, oh, well, let me just crack my knuckles. Because guess what? Now I'm really going to do it and I'm going to be awesome at it. Like now I have to do it, you know, which can be to a fault. But I'm like, oh, no, you did not just say that. I can do it.
I want to tell you a story. When Caitlin was in college, she went to orientation and for freshmen, and they had them break off into colleges. So in order to be an architect, you would be in the College of Engineering. So she goes into this massive conference, like massive room, right?
Yeah.
Like
there's like hundreds of us.
Yeah, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
She sends me a text. So she's barely 18. She might even still be 17. She sends me a text saying, oh my gosh, mom, there are hundreds of people in this room and only three women. And I'm like, oh no, like my heart is sinking because I've always been like, you can do anything you want to do, you know, and I've just always encouraged my kids, any dream, let's try it, you know? And so I'm like feeling like, oh my gosh, she's feeling less than maybe people or maybe these men are like, you know, trying to like make her feel like she doesn't belong. And I just said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And she said back
something like, it's okay. I'm going to kick all these boys' butts or something.
And make them cry. That was such a... I'm going to kick all their butts and make them cry. And I was just like, yes.
She's fine. She's fine. She's got it.
Yep.
See, that's the attitude that people should have is not saying, oh, look at me. I'm here and these are the people against me. You should say I'm here and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to make something of myself and I'm going to prove to all these people that I can do it.
Yeah. I'm going to inspire all these people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, now let me ask you, I know the statistics out there, a lot of men own businesses more than what women do. Do you see that it's, I guess, against you in a way where, oh, look, you are two women in a field of men's businesses? Or do you feel like you have an advantage because of that?
Well, can I tell you why I think more men own businesses than women? Because women are still held to traditional roles while also trying to run a business. And, you know, I'm 53, so I'm not a young woman, and I still fall into that. So I actually out-earned my husband, and he is just so proud of me. He's not, you know, he's not a chauvinist or anything. So I am bringing in most of the income. Yet I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do is make my son breakfast, because he will not eat breakfast and he's trying to bulk up and stay healthy for football and he'll start losing weight. So I make him breakfast. I move a load of laundry over. I fold a load of laundry. I unload the dishwasher. I will load the dishwasher. I will bag up the garbage. I will take it out. I'm doing all that. When I had little kids, I had little kids to manage while trying to sneak time away to run this business. And most women cannot figure out how to find the fulfillment they're seeking as a mother and a wife and also run a successful business. I was so jealous of one of my mentors when he said to me, he's like, you work from home? And I'm like, yes, because I manage all the family finances. And also if a kid needs a backpack or a Chromebook, or they puked on somebody's shoes and I have to go get them, like, you know, yeah. I wanted to be around in case, and that wasn't something my husband said, you have to do this. That is something I wanted to do, but I have to be around to do that. And he's like, oh man, I couldn't get anything done at home. He's self-employed, yet he rented office space away from home because he couldn't get anything done at home. And I just thought, oh, if a woman had that kind of luxury, like a wife and a mother, to just be like, just gonna go rent some office space. Good luck, everybody. I gotta do my work first and foremost. You know, like, this is why women do not succeed in business. honestly, because there's too many plates to spin and they haven't figured out how to spin them, but we
and
have.
They need other women who know how to spin them, teach them how to spin them.
And we have cracked the code for sure. But I think that women are generally are viewed, I don't think this is true, but I think they're viewed as more trustworthy in business. A lot of people will not assume that a woman is out to scam them or, you know, take advantage of them. Women are more generally innately taught to be more caring. I'm not saying they are, but they're just taught to be more caring and to show that and to show more nurturing. And it helps us to build trust very quickly. So I actually think women have an edge in that case, but I think there's until men are doing 50-50 with the home, the children, the housework, like all of that, I think you're going to see more men in business, like always. I don't have a problem with it because that's not we're figuring it out. You know, in our world, it works fine for us, but that there's my 2 cents.
Now, Caitlin, I was told off air that not only are you a business owner, but you also have a photography business, and you're doing all this while your son is going through hell, you might as well say. Can you tell us what's going on?
Yeah, we called it a hellish summer. That's how we've been referring to it. So we bought our first home this summer, and the week that we moved in, my son started having seizures, and he had been an otherwise like completely healthy 2-year-old. So it really was just like out of nowhere, pretty terrifying. Like, I was the one at home when it happened. I've never had to call an ambulance before. I'd never had to like fear for my kid's life. I had never seen a seizure. I legitimately thought he was dying. Like, I was hysterical on the phone with that operator because I didn't know what was happening, right? So that was crazy. That led to months and months of trying different medications to get the seizures under control, doing all the different tests to figure out what was happening with his brain. And then his development started to fall behind as well. And they didn't know if it was a result of the seizures, because seizures kind of like restart your brain. And for kids, whatever was they were kind of working on just gets like wiped. So then their brain has to make its way back to, you know, trying that new skill out. But they also weren't sure if maybe he had autism on top of that. So it's kind of like a whole summer of all these things, total, you know, life change, not really sure what his next. I was so grateful that I had been established, you know, as a self-employed work from home mom for a couple of years at that point, because it was really hard. But I knew enough about how to kind of pivot things that I could pivot a few things with my business, but still make myself more available to be there for him for all the things and, you know, not feel like he had to suffer or the business had to suffer. Like, that was a huge blessing that it happened, you know, when it happened.
So you can kind of take that as, I guess, a check in the pro side of it, of owning your own business, because a lot of companies would not allow you to take that time off.
Oh yeah.
Like, which you probably needed.
So, yeah, I probably would have been calling my boss and being like, I don't see how I can work. Like, I have to be with my kid 24/7. He could literally have a seizure at any time. Like, you know, I would have been definitely quitting my job. Yeah.
It was, he had several ambulance rides and that summer crazy. And so many appointments with so many people.
Yeah.
But
how can you deal with that and then have, I guess, a compartmentalize it with your business, stuff like that, where you can put one aside and work on the other? That must have been very draining for you to do.
It was hard. I did spend there were a couple of nights I would take a hot bath and cry. and then get it out of my system and be like, okay, it's going to be okay. This is just, you know, mother bear emotions. But we have been doing, I have the photography gig. She and I have an asset recovery gig and the Dear Dreamer business. And then we were also both doing network marketing. And the other three businesses, they don't take a lot of our time. People are like, oh my gosh, you have so many businesses. But they're actually like, they make a lot of money with very little time. So that wasn't bad. But it was a network marketing that I had appointments, like virtual appointments constantly every single day. Like, it was getting really, really busy and not bringing in nearly as much money. So that was the one when this happened that I was like, you know, I think I'm going to put this on autopilot and do a lot less with it. And I wouldn't say, oh, you have to give up your dreams when a tragedy happens or you have a sick kid. But I feel like this was a good wake-up call because for months with that business, I had felt like it's getting really overwhelming. I don't know how long I can do this for. And then when that happened, I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this and kind of step away from this one, this is the one, this is the time. So I did turn that one over mostly to my assistant, and we're just kind of keeping that one on autopilot. But the other ones were already kind of not taking up a lot of my time. And I would just find ways, like if he was napping, I would just work on them a little bit. Or, you know, I live 5 minutes from my mom and my mother-in-law, so I would run him over to both houses really quickly for an afternoon. I trusted them they could handle it if he had a seizure or something, you know. But yeah, it really was just one business that we had to like walk away from, but we had wanted to anyways. So
Yeah, we had been
that
needing
was
to.
really
We
good.
just didn't have the courage to. She
Yeah.
hired some housekeeping. She hired some
I have an
office help.
assistant.
Yep, she got an assistant who is, how old is she? 15?
She's
So of
15.
course she's a whiz on the computer, right?
Oh my gosh, she's brilliant.
And
It's
then she'll
crazy.
take him over to the little playground to play. They
Yep.
love each other. And yeah, Caitlin is doing, I'm just so proud of her, the mother
Thank
that
you.
she is, and how, and you know what else? Like one of the ambulance rides when they got to the hospital, even though they have insurance, the hospital was like, okay, that's $1,400 out of pocket.
Right now, yeah.
When you have a very expensive tragedy happening, the worst thing you can do is lose your income because you got too busy. You know what I mean? And so, like, a man doesn't quit his job when his child starts having seizures. You know what I mean? Like, and
Right.
but then everybody's always saying, oh, are you still working? Even though your son's going through this. Yes, I'm working because my son's going through
Yeah.
this, you know.
Well, and I
So
think too.
bills don't stop just because
Exactly.
you know, like if
You
you
had a
have a
crisis.
tragedy. Yeah.
The world doesn't stop. I think what's gotten me through it though is, you know, I love like bringing in income for my family. I love my businesses, but the dreams behind the businesses, which I like to say, the dream is like the big inspiring, you know, really fun part that gets you going. And then you turn that into the goals, you know, which is the work. But the dreams behind that business, I think, are what got me through all of that because I was still excited to achieve those things. And when I could still work on that, it was like a little escape every day, just for part of the day, you know, and then to feel like, okay, whew, all right, I'm still working on some things that make me really excited. And now I feel really inspired to turn that off and now come over here and help my son with everything that he needs to do. And I think being able to keep, you know, those dreams and that piece of myself going has really pulled me through that and continued to get me through it because we're not done yet.
Okay, what was your first job?
I think you should talk now. I've talked for a minute. So I had the wonderful job of working at McDonald's, our local McDonald's. Yep, I went and it was a huge blessing because my family was so poor that food was scarce at home, and my manager would look the other way when I would eat food instead of throwing it out. Like when it was expired, I wasn't really stealing, but we weren't supposed to eat it when it was expired. And she would just look the other way. And I would take on extra shifts. Anybody wanted me to work for them, I would. And that place really saved my life, honestly. So yeah, McDonald's. That's where this six-figure earner got her
Gotta start
start. Yeah.
somewhere. Mine was, I was 15 and it was the city rec department. So I started with scorekeeping for all the basketball games. And then they liked me so much, they had me do like the softball games that summer. And I did that until I was 18. But then when I was 16, I was a janitor at the high school as well. So I did the rec stuff, you know, on the off season, then janitor year round. And it was really good for me to get a job so early. I have never not had a job, you know, up until I became self-employed. But it was nice to graduate high school and I could hit the ground running. I was like, I know how to find a job. I know how to work. I have some skills already. You know, I had friends who had been a little bit more fortunate than me and they didn't need to work in high school. They had parents who could provide a lot of things for them. And my dad was a school teacher, so I had to take care of some of, you know, my own expenses, and that I felt like woe was me as like a high schooler, but then I got to college, my friends were like, how to pay for things, and I don't know how to find a job and tuition. And I was like, I got a job 6 months ago and I've had my tuition paid for, you know, since the summer. Like, it was the best like learning experience for me.
What is your favorite season?
What's your favorite season? I love spring. But I not the beginning of spring, you know, when it's muddy and wet and everything's still dead. But I love spring when things start to bloom. I probably a lot of people can relate to this, but I love that feeling, you know, when you go outside finally after being secluded all winter. And I also love the feeling, I get this overwhelming feeling, hope and a feeling of like new beginnings. And I love to just see things blossoming and
Coming
blooming.
back to
Yeah,
life.
I love it.
Oh,
How
I
about
like
you?
that. I like the idea of summer, but I don't like the heat of summer. But I like summer. My husband usually is more available and we can go, you know, there are more activities to do, you know, more things that are open. And then I guess with like my parents and my siblings, they're around more, and my in-laws. So summer's always been my favorite because you see family more often, you have more fun things to do, you can get outside. I just don't like the part of summer where it gets really hot and then you're just like, I actually don't want to be outside doing anything, you know?
Because we're in Utah.
And then
We
it
live in
ruins
a
it for you.
virtual,
It
scorching
gets pretty
desert.
hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like to
Yeah.
be cold either. So then I like the beginning of fall, but yeah, I'm a little picky with my seasons, I guess.
Late
What's
summer.
your
Late summer.
favorite food?
That's a tough one. It makes me forget every food out there.
So, you know, we stopped eating all flour and all
All sugar.
sugar. And so
Mine's probably a fruit because now fruit feels like a treat, like oranges or something. I'm pregnant right now, so I like oranges and kiwis. And I hate everything else at the moment. I don't know what it
I've developed a dangerous addiction to peanut butter.
is. Peanut butter.
Yeah, but I'm trying to break myself
Natural
from.
peanut butter, it's just peanuts. If you don't eat the way that we eat, it tastes disgusting. My husband will like attest to that.
Yeah.
But to us, it's like a creamy treat. It's
Because we don't eat any
crazy.
sugar,
It's
so it's
madness.
literally one of the only sweet things
Yeah.
that we eat, but I have a problem binging.
Or
So.
homemade oatmeal. If you're thinking favorite meal, homemade oatmeal, because it's got
Yeah.
the yogurt and the peanut butter.
Who is your hero?
Oh, my hero, it's cliche, but it's my mom and dad. Like, they don't cry. I feel so fortunate. Like, my dad, we like to say he's like a hick from Indiana, which, you know, nothing against hicks or people from Indiana, but he's way different than kind of like our Utah culture out here. But he is the most like morally upright man I've met. Like, I used to say like, he's my moral compass. And he is always like, do what's right because it's right, you know, not what's easy. And he holds himself to that. Like, I have seen him go to great lengths to do something because it's right. And he'll say things like, you know, every job you do, it's kind of like your autograph, you know, like you're kind of leaving the evidence that you were there. So you want to show that you were there and you did it really well and not leave any room for people to be like, oh my gosh, this person did it. And they did a, you know, a half job at it. And my mom has become my hero as I've matured and realized that your parents do in fact have feelings once you become an adult. But once we've gotten to kind of work closer together, I just want to be just like her when I grow up. Like being able to understand more of how life has been different for her, you know, as a woman in business, as now as a mom, which is something I can understand finally. I look back at my own childhood and I'm like, it is truly amazing everything she, my dad, provided me because of the lifestyle she lived that I really now want to give to my kids, like so badly. So they are definitely my two heroes.
I think the person I'm going to talk about her dad too. I think the person I admire most in this world is my husband, for sure. And they say marry the right person and 90% of your problems are over. And that is so true. I picked a good one. I lucked into that. He is a rock. He is just a stable, stand-up, kind, loving, good man. I couldn't have picked anybody to be a better example to my kids of how a man should treat the women in his life, his parents, like how he should treat his job. And that man, I mean, today they had a 2-hour delay. He's now an athletic director at the school and high school. They had a 2-hour snow delay. He got up at the same time, went out, didn't just shovel our yard, went around and shoveled where the snow plow had buried the end of people's driveways with an insane amount of snow that if they don't have a snow blower, there's no way, you know. And he went around. That's what he did for 2 hours. And that's just, you know, we all knew where he was. Nobody was like, oh, like it was not unusual for him. He is just,
that's just what he does.
We wouldn't be so successful without his stability. You know, he provides us with that stable paycheck. He provides us with our benefits, with our protection. I don't have to do things like take the garbage cans out and do the yard work and fix the cars. And, you know, I don't have to do things like that. I can, I don't want to, I don't have to. And he really takes good care of us. So Ross Arnold for the win.
He's amazing.
He's our hero.
Okay. What's your favorite dessert?
My favorite dessert, not that I eat it anymore, but cheesecake. Anytime now, like my husband will eat cheesecake, I'm just like, oh, I remember those days. I love cheesecake. My gosh, favorite dessert. I have to pick one. You know,
that was our problem. We didn't. I think the thing I mourned the most was ice cream, but the really good, expensive, heavy, dense, creamy ice cream. And I loved cookie dough ice cream. That would probably be
That's
my
like
favorite thing.
A joke in our family. If you are an Arnold and you don't like ice cream, you're just disowned. Like it goes back generations. Like grandpa, even my grandpa, he died of cancer, but towards the end, they, you know, when he was in all his treatments, they're like, hey, you can't have like really cold things. It's not good for your body right now. And he came back from his appointment and was like, they told me I can't eat ice cream anymore. And I just think that's downright unconstitutional.
Okay, what time do you wake up?
Oh,
when Tyler.
Yeah, my son, I don't know if it's an autism thing or if it's a Tyler thing. He has a terrible, terrible sleep schedule. So we often get to bed very, very late. But if it's a good night, usually about 6:30 for me, I like to have, he'll wake up at like 8. So I like to have some time before he wakes up. We're spiritual. So, you know, we do some spiritual things. I like to exercise. It's easier to exercise when you don't have a toddler climbing on top of you. So 6:30 or 7.
6:30 for me as well. I have to be sure if I don't get up early enough, I have a crazy 16-year-old and he just needs a little bit of help getting out the door and getting to school. He's the baby. And I got tired and I didn't discipline him as well as the other kids. So now, you know, I'm paying the,
if you don't get up, he's not getting up.
Yeah.
He's not going to school.
If he's not moved along from step to step, he's not going to graduate from high school. At one point I'll probably wash my hands of, you know, trying to oversee all that, but the kid just needs to get a,
he needs to graduate
diploma
and he's on his own.
So yeah, about 6:30 for both of us.
What movie do you quote the most?
I wonder if I just quote one. I try to quote anything Disney to my husband because his whole family is really big into Disney. He like has made me do Disney trivia so I can like keep up with them. So any Disney quote I can like regurgitate, he's like, yeah. So I try to like do that as often as I can.
Movie do I quote the most? Do I quote
movies? I think you quote movies. She's not big on like entertainment and media. Like she can drive in her car without a radio going or anything, like just silence. I don't know if you quote movies.
No, I don't quote movies.
Are you a night in or night out?
Oh, night in, 100%.
Yeah, you're a night in. I'm a night in too. Yeah.
Do you learn by watching or do you learn by doing?
I think by doing. I do my research first. But it's not until I actually go to do it that I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. Screwed that up. let's do it again. Like, you know what I mean?
You're
in it.
I always want to watch first for a long time. And then do it.
When you go swimming, do you tiptoe in or dive in?
I like to dive in. I tiptoe in, screaming and complaining the whole time. If I don't dive in, I'm going to get pushed in. So I just dive in.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, a lava bath, a super hot bubble bath.
I love to take the afternoons off and watch British period shows. And I will rewatch them over and over and over
and over.
Yeah.
What motivates you?
I think it's my kids, like that lifestyle I want to provide for them. Because it's not just for them, it's going to be a lifestyle for me that makes me happy. And it makes me really excited to think about just, you know, what that's going to look like for our whole family.
My family is definitely my greatest source of joy and hence my greatest source of inspiration. But I get so darn excited if I can push a person to do something or experience something that they didn't think that they were going to be able to do. So of course I harass my family all the time, you know, we're going to go do this. You're going to do that. How about we do this? We can try that.
That's kind of actually how I ended up here.
You're going to quit your job and you're going to do this side of my business that I hate that you
like
be.
I was like, you think I can be self-employed? Yeah, you can be self-employed. You could totally do it. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to do it then.
Well, we talked a lot in this about owning your own business, about your son's problems, and just all out having fun. But I'm going to give you a moment to ramble on whatever is important to you. This time is yours.
What do you want to talk about?
Maybe talk about our retreat again? Tell them, like, give them the itinerary. Give them all the fun nitty-gritty you've planned. This lady is the ultimate trip planner. It's
insane. Well, okay. There's only two things I like in this world. One of them is helping people. If the job I have is not helping someone in some way and providing value to someone in some way, I don't want to do it. I'm not happy doing it. And the only other thing that really gets me excited is travel. And I mean world travel, like in a big way. I see something like the Colosseum, I'm going to go see it myself. If I see someone in an underground river in Mexico, I'm going to go see it myself. You know, these are things I actually do.
She has done it.
And then I plan it all out and I talk as many people. I don't want to do it alone and I don't want to do anything alone. I want to take as many people with me on my adventures as I can. So I pitched this idea to Caitlin and I was like, all right, let's quit this network marketing where we were helping people, but on a very small scale. You know, let's quit that. Let's put our time and effort into taking women who need us and need this in some way. And I feel like if we put the message out properly, we will find those women that are seeking us and what we have. And we will find our like-minded tribe of people, but we want to travel the world. And we want to take people with us. And we actually can afford to travel the world. And we are going to France. We don't need...
Whether or not they go with us.
Yes, we don't need them to pay our way. And we don't need them to come with us. But we want them to. Because we want to see that experience through other people's eyes. And we want to help where we can. So we're trying to marry the things that we love the most. Helping other women. Traveling the world. And we have figured a lot out. Especially in the last 3 years. We have figured a lot of things out. We have a lot of value to offer to women who need what we know.
Yeah, to add a little bit to that, I'd say, I think the reason why I love this so much is I was not someone, so I'm an introvert by nature, which is getting just kicked out of me, you know, more and more. But I was a super introvert, didn't really believe in myself. I was like, I'm just going to work my 9-to-5 forever, which nothing, you know, nothing wrong if you work a 9-to-5. But for me, it was like, I put myself in this tiny little box. Didn't think I could ever be more than that. And she is the one who was kind of like, hey, come join me on this journey. I see greatness in you. I see that you are more capable than you even know. And I think you can do it. And I'm not going to just throw you to the sharks. I'm going to be with you while you do it. And I've already done this, so I'll show you the way. And that has just completely changed my life, changed my outlook on myself. And I have been so lucky. I mean, to have my own mother feel that way about me and provide me with those opportunities, that now, like, I want us to do that for other women. You know, like, we will be the women in your life who are going to believe in you and inspire you and take you along with us. And we believe you can do it. You know, you just might need to believe too, or you might need some tools, and we've got both.
Now, if people do want to go on this trip or they want to get a hold of you, anything like that, are you on Facebook, Instagram, and anything else like Twitter or anything like that?
So we have a Facebook and an Instagram and a website, and soon we'll have a podcast launching this year. So we have a Facebook group you can join. You'll get like the details of the retreat, but then you can also just kind of like see more from us, you know, feel like you can become friends with us. So that's Dear Dreamer Elite Retreats is the Facebook group. And then our Instagram, let me pull it up really quick because it's kind of a interesting name that I need to memorize.
While she's pulling up the Instagram, our website, which will take you to all these places, is just simply deardreamer.com.
And that has our books, has the full itinerary for the retreat, all sorts of stuff. The books are 99 cents on the website, so go grab one of those. We have three books. The Instagram is deardreamer.podcast.retreats.
And there's links to all the places to find us on social media at deardreamer.com.
Yep, so you could stop there first.
Yep.
Are you booked on any other places like Amazon or anything?
Yeah, that's where they are. They're
Yep.
published through Amazon, and they were all bestsellers. They have the bestseller seal on them from Amazon.
Yeah. You just get a better deal, I think, through our website because we can mark it down a little bit.
Well, and all the links are there, so you don't have to go hunting. Just go
Yeah,
to
you don't have to go search
deardreamer.com
us.
and we'll give you all the links.
Well, I want to thank both of you. This has been awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Again, this is Caitlin and Shar, Lynn, and I appreciate it so much. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'm always looking for likes, shares, and reviews. Please give it a share and a review. 5 stars really does help. Thanks for tuning in. Yes, refill both of our coffees. See you next week where we can listen once again. Please follow us on Saturday Java with Jason on Facebook and Instagram. And please follow me on Facebook at Jason Coffee Man.